All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Monday morning. But here in Tennessee, it's very hazy. You know, like they're saying we're going to have rain for a few more days. Let me get a drink. Excuse me. So there's a few warnings I want to give you guys this morning. I'm just going to get right into it. When you look at the landscape of what is happening across the world, something really is about to blow. I mean, even if you just look at the, excuse me, at YouTube, at the big picture of what is happening on there, because remember I told you guys how YouTube has been taken over and whatnot. Well, when you just look at it and scroll through and see the craziness that is happening everywhere and the warnings coming out about Christmas from the Freedom Forest. You know, these are the ones that are connected to everything. And they're, so in other words, they're letting all their people know something's about to blow. Okay, so, and we already know, you know, what God has been telling us about different things, but, excuse me, all of these drones, this is a big sign to us of terrible things coming, because I just posted on the Patreon that by them having all of these drones out everywhere, it only means that they have increased their genesis. You know, they've went from 5 probably to 10. And there's people all over the country that's getting sick from this. You know, probably the ones that didn't take the V. Because it robs you of your oxygen, you know, so people are getting headaches, they're getting very tired, they're, you know, some people are vomiting and stuff. And it's really terrible, you know, the point that we're at. Another thing that the Freedom Forest is doing right now, the NARA people, is they're really pushing the rapture. They're really pushing that the rapture is going to happen over the next couple of weeks. At the same time, these other people, Freedom Forest, is pushing that that the aliens are coming. You know, see, the thing about the drones that you have to consider is we know, because of our research over the last 5 years and through our prayers and fastings and all that, we know what they're going to do, because they're setting the stage for the new order to come in. This is what the law and order means when Trump steps into power, because it means that everything is going robotic. There's going to be no more policemen, humans. It's going to be robotic. It's going to be, you know, AI is going to be the police. AI is going to be the courts. You know, a lot of the justice that's going to be taking place is going to be people going before AI. And it's going to be a swift decision. You know how that's going to work. I mean, if you take AI that has agents, you know, that it has assigned to every human, that's gathering information on every human, kind of like the Matrix. Oh, I hear a beautiful bird singing outside my window. Thank you, Lord. I love the soft little things he does. He used to do that when I worked at the White House. He would have, because he knew how nervous I was in there, you know, with all the persecution and me being alone. It was the little things he would do to let me know he's with me. And it would be things like that. He'd have I'd be standing there by the president's office in the bushes. Remember, I used to have to hide. We called them the burning bushes. You know, like Moses, but I had to hide in the bushes to pray for the president. And God would have these little birds and squirrels and the little things that I love, because I'm pretty simple minded when it comes to God. I'm very humble. But anyway, okay, so these the law and order thing with the drones is that they're going to the judge I was saying about AI sending the agents. Okay, so AI is sending agents deep for each person, gathering the information from the people, and then it's bringing it all back to AI, so he will know. This beast knows everything about you. So this is why I'm preparing everybody. There is nowhere to hide. I mean, when your time comes, just lift up Jesus, because there's nothing we're gonna be able to do except trust in the Lord, But anyway, so AI will be the judge. It will be the police. It will be, talking to everything, out there. And that's what the Internet of Everything is. And everything that is a node, and I'm just throwing this out there without coming out and saying it, okay? Everything that is a node is of the hive mind. So it will be speaking. It will be able to communicate to everything. Okay? So just remember that, in the days to come, because all of these warnings that are going out there, I'm gonna read you one this morning. Now, this is from Steve Fletcher. Steve Fletcher, I consider kind of freedom forest. He is with Steve Quayle, and that is connected to Celeste and all these other people. Okay, so anyway, but he has been preparing everybody for this rapture and whatnot. So this is what he said. Good morning, brothers and sisters. This was yesterday. He said, I just want to share with you that last night, after doing my videos about the drones, I was overtaken by a deep sense of anguish that I never felt so deeply before. There are times when I break out in uncontrollable sobbing and weeping for the people and the pain that is coming upon the world. Because remember, Steve Quayle is really famous for pointing out how they're going to be bringing giants in. Each of them have a row of what they're exposing. What he is the giants. Celeste is, like the FEMA plans type of deal. But last night was really different, very deep and intense, and to the point where I was almost having trouble breathing. Deep, long breaths of sighing, and I believe that we are seeing now is the way it's going to happen. That after the rapture, so see, he's preparing the people that there's a rapture coming. There will really be no place to hide from their attacks, especially in the cities. Okay, now let me pause here and insert this. This is a warning I'm giving you guys. I do have a word for you this morning as well, on top of my little warnings I give you first thing. Is, okay, all of these drone sightings, I don't know why the news is not exposing this to people, because I was looking at a bunch of it last night, but they're not. So they're a farce and they're in on it. Because the first thing that any media person should consider is the 5G. Why are the drones only over major cities? Duh. It's because they're smart cities. Duh. It's because they have all this 5 Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. This is why they have the drones. It's all a testing, and they're trying to really scare people. They're setting the stage for the alien attack. And I was telling or the false, the Project Bluebeam, where they make it look like the rapture takes place. This is what's going to be so terrible. So how they're going to make the people disappear, I don't know, but it's going to be a fake one. And can you imagine the people, that are left and what they're going to be thinking? You have to understand what they're going to do in Project Bluebeam, now I do believe there's going to be a rapture. Not, we don't use the word rapture, because rapture actually just means rape. It's not a word out of the Bible. It's a catching away, but we've still got a little bit of time, but it is going to come. We have to go through martyrdom and stuff first. So we're about to go through, you know, the next level, and then we will have the martyrdom and then the wrath, okay? But this could happen, you know, to open the door to the martyrdom and the attacks and stuff like that, but and to verify that you're human. So let's say, you know, they have these alien attacks, or they make it look like the alien attacks. You know, because to you that are new, that are on the call this morning, they've got the infrastructure set up on major intersections. I've followed this since 2020 when I traveled across country. Is, you know, set up for these holograms. That's what the Lord, you know, the first time I ever saw one of them and how they set it up, I immediately knew what it was. And it's where they have all of these beast drones with a pod on the top that is in a circle formation in these major intersections. And they're going, I can just see a reflector off of that making an image of an alien ship. And you know that these things can look so real, you know, especially with today's technology. But they're going to be hovering over cities, and they're going to make it look like, you know, that it's the rapture has happened before this. I don't know how they're going to do this. But the point is that it's setting the stage. Like, there's so much chatter just scrolling up and down YouTube. Is this aliens, aliens, aliens? And we're talking about from the Freedom Forest. Now, at the same time, you've got all these ones that are surrounding Trump that are promoting this, okay? So something's going down. And then you know that Trump has been meeting with all the globalists. He has been meeting with the World Economic Forum big dogs. We're talking Facebook, Apple, you know, I mean the big dogs. So something is definitely going down, and it's just like what I told you guys. They want to get us on our Christian holiday, Christmas. You know, this is what we're known for type of deal. But there was something else I was wanting to tell you. What was it? Remember this. When they're making it look like in the public that they're catering to you, they're stabbing you on the other side. It's a distraction. I've learned this over the last 5 years. Like when they give the evangelicals all this stuff and it looks so wonderful on the front end, it's because they're passing laws and stabbing them in the back on the back end. It's kind of like a yin-yang deal. All right, let's see here. See, like right here, Hank Kuhneman, 2025 is going to be the year of justice. You know, just... You just can't make it up. I mean, they're all telling everybody, you know, prepare for this change. The new era. The new era. You know, they keep saying that over and over again. So anyways, I just wanted to talk to you guys about that and to prepare you for... to let you know that these drones are just preparing the way for their takeover once they get everything up to their right, their proper genesis that they need to operate these machines. They have to have the frequencies in the air in order to operate these things. And so, which is where the fiber internet comes from. It feeds off that. It's the fiber. Think about fiber. the fiber for the cyber. Oh, that's another thing. I want to talk to you this morning. If y'all would turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. All right. I want to talk to you guys this morning about truth. Because the beast has hijacked the word truth. He wants people to believe his truth, which is where misinformation comes in. Everything's starting to make more sense now as time has went on about why Trump named his Truth Social. Why did you name it Truth? You know, he's got a half T with a dot. So it's a broken T, you know, on his logo. I told you how logos tell everything. With the circle there, it's a Build Back Better social deal. Because when he speaks, it's a psychological thing. It says to the people, you know, that he is speaking truth. And then if you partner with it, then you re-truth. You're telling the truth now. You're sharing the truth now. You're declaring and coming in agreement, see. So that's one thing. And the next thing I want you to know is how the difference between the two trees, which we're going to do this a lot in Bible college. We're going to talk when we start out in January, which it is full now. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to talk about the two trees, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Two different trees in the garden. Okay. Now, God told them in the beginning, I want you to not eat off of just one tree. I'm asking you not to eat off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, so a lot of this truth that they're all celebrating and telling everybody, and this is a lot of where the truthers come in. Because they know that people through the COVID epidemic, pandemic, plandemic, they knew that people were going to be searching for truth, didn't they? So what they did is they went in there and put in their infiltrators, people that will tell them all they need to know so that they could corrupt them. They would give them so much truth off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but the solution to their problem was the vomit. The solution that they're taking them to now, here we are 5 years later, is into the Ark of the Beast, the decentralized world. The decentralized, just kind of put it like this, decentralized means you're not centered on God anymore. You're now in a Luciferian economy. You know, I'm going to pause here and tell y'all something. Okay. So the point is that when your family or friends come to you, and now that everything's exploding and they're asking you, you know, about, you know, what is happening on the global stage, I encourage you guys to be careful. Because, you know, they may want to hear, but they may not want to hear. Because it really is shocking. It's shocking to the ears, the truth that you have. See, this is what we're going to talk about this morning. There's two different truths going on here. The lie that people are believing versus the real truth. The beast has hijacked the word truth. Okay. And I believe as well this is coming in with the fiber for the cyber. Because Trump and Elon and all of them is preparing the stage that y'all get ready for the truth that we're going to reveal. We're going to tell you all about John F. Kennedy and about Epstein. They're going to be throwing all kinds of truth out there, all kinds of exposure. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So, yes, according to facts, it's probably true, but it's not the God kind of truth. It's not a good truth. It's a tree of knowledge of good and evil type of truth. Because here's what's going to happen. Now, we know with the fiber for the cyber, when they begin exposing the church on a bigger scale, right now we're seeing it blow up with Daystar, but this is all just the beginning. Because they want to defame our Jesus. All that's doing is making Jesus look bad. That's why I'm telling you, don't share it, pray for him. Don't get involved, because it's all the beast coming down on Christians, okay? But when it comes to their neighbors, by the time it gets to us, which is the neighbors, they're going to be so angry birds from what they have seen from the top down, like what's happening right now. They're already angry over Trump and all that, much less through the main NAR that probably knew this was coming, and it's all a stage, you know. It's getting people hungry for that type of truth to suck them in to the metaverse. And I'm saying this, feeling the anointing so much this morning. Because we've all been lovers of research. And we've all been lovers of truth. We love to find out what is the truth. But those days have to stop. Because of the beast going to use that to lure you in. Okay? Because what's going to happen is they're going to lead all these people down these rabbit trails to put them into the metaverse, into the beast. See, the beast is the web. It's the world wide web. It's AI monitoring people when they're searching, documenting everywhere you go, you know, building a profile for pre-crime and pre-health. Because when you use your iPhones, it's monitoring your entire mental health and sending the report back to the CDC. That's why I told everybody, you better get off them iPhones. You know, some people really, they just don't care how far, you know, they just don't care. But for anybody that, you know, wants to hear the warning, then there you go. But so with the truth, they're going to keep people distracted, searching into the web, staying in the beast, keeping their eyes and beholding that form of truth, of the knowledge of good and evil. Not that it's wrong and not that it's lies. It's the tree that you're feeding off of. Remember Satan, Lucifer, what he said to Eve in the garden. Oh, surely Jesus did not, or God did not say that. You know, that if you eat this, that you shall surely die. You know, kind of twisting the truth type of deal. Versus the real truth. The real truth is the Word of God. That's where the Word of God is, how we measure everything. It is the measuring rod, okay? And, you know, so we have to keep our focus on what are we beholding, the tree of knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life? Because I'm just warning you that that's where he wants to take people, into the false truth. Okay, another thing about truth is Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, I told you one day that I had an epiphany or like a wisdom nugget or whatever about his name. I believe his name is on purpose. The double V's, Vivek. You know, like the double portion of the V agenda. He's a smooth talker. He's from India, which is the one, you know, doing the global ID. They're the ones, they have their media now is coming to the forefront. And they're really promoting Trump, and they're promoting this agenda. They're helping, in other words, the country of India is helping the country of the United States to bring in this global ID through their media, much less all of the people from India who are coming to the forefront in our government, you know, that's being put into position. And specifically, put in position to run for offices in the Republican Party type of deal. Okay, so now that you have that basic understanding of the difference of the beast side of truth, I wrote it in my journal this morning. Let me see if there's anything I need to add. Okay, here we go. Okay. With Satan, it's a half-truth. You know, like, it's true, but then it's not a good truth. It's like a half-truth. Or he mixes it with half-truth. But with God, it's the whole truth. With Satan, it hurts you and it makes you angry. Like, okay, let's say, with Trump with his angry birds, you know, they find out what's happening to him and they get mad. They swallow his vomit, the whining, and then they end up getting mad and their hearts become hard and then they become loyal and then they become obedient. You know, they become devoted. It's a big difference. It's a worship level. That is a hurt made angry. Because I forgot who it was we was watching yesterday when he was talking about, it just left my mind. It had something to do with the way that Trump tells lies and how people believe it. Oh, I remember. Okay. So they have used Trump. And this is not me, Revelation. This is through this man. It was really good. And it made a lot of sense. But they have used Trump to be presented to the country, to the conservatives, you know, who would be the militia, you know, to the far right, the most patriot people. They've used him to show that y'all don't have to do nothing. I'm going to do it all for you. Shh. You know. Calm down. Wait for it. Trust the plan. I'm going to go in there. You know, over time is what they're thinking, you know. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to take them all out. You know. And how they can't put it together. He said he was going to arrest Hillary and never did. And he said he was going to pull out the UN and never did. And he said he was going to stop the Christians from being persecuted. He never did. You know, all the things he said he did, he never did. But they're still believing him. So this guy pointed out that he was used to hold back society from acting against the government. Why? Because they had to put in their infrastructure, of which he was the one that built it. I mean, it's diabolical. Diabolical. You know? And, but his type of truth makes people angry. But God's type of truth, it hurts. But it heals. Now, God's type of truth to them may make them angry, but it's a different kind of angry. It's angry. They're just angry anyway. But to a Christian, when God rebukes you and has someone in authority chastise you or whatever, it may hurt because your pride gets hurt a little bit, but it heals you. And how you respond to that correction and rebuke, you're going to answer to God for it. Because you're still prideful if you're if you don't respond in the right way. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because God does chastise and rebuke. He uses that, and he uses authority people to help you, you know, to stay in line. Because we all need to stay in line, amen? And, you know, and God, he's going to use prophets to keep you in line. But those prophets are not going to come to you until God's already dealt with you a couple of times. You know, the prophets are only a last resort because you're not listening or because you're being stubborn, okay? The prophets do not come and just rebuke you, you know, shockingly. That's not really a prophet. A prophet works in sync with God, you see. So, now another way of truth is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay? And then God's version of truth is the tree of life, which is Jesus. Jesus is the tree of life. He is the tree. Okay. Now let's go to Mark chapter 12. This is what led me to understand what I did. Here we go. And he began to speak to them. Well, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you're helping us to understand what real truth is, Lord. And you're helping us, Lord, to remain pliable before your eyes. And we thank you, Lord, for your word that heals, delivers, and sets free. I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone listening and over me as well. And Lord, use me for your glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, and he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. So, in other words, he built it, but he left somebody else to steward it. Now, this is us, the Garden of Eden, okay? We are the steward of the world and of his garden, okay? And at the season, he sent to the husbandman, which is us, a servant, that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. Now, this goes back to Cain and Abel. Remember, we talked about Cain and Abel last week. Why did God accept Abel's offering versus Cain? It's because he gave of the first fruits. You know, he was talking about the tithes and the offerings. It is a principle, just a basic principle. God wants the first, which is another reason why we're fasting. The 40 days this year begins New Year's Eve at 10 o'clock. I hope you can all be with me. But God wants the first fruits, okay? And that's why he accepted Abel's over Cain's. Cain probably just gave him a portion of what he had. But Abel gave the first fruit. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head. and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. I see this as the prophets that God has sent to his people and to the earth over the years. You know, they've been beat and killed trying to help steward the earth. Now, verse 6. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, okay, let me back up. The husbandmen was the Jews, the children of Israel. Okay, the Jews. Now, go back over here. But the husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore of the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and will give the vineyard to others. See, that's what Jesus did. When Jesus came, he opened the door and gave the inheritance, the rights to everyone, didn't he? He opened the door. See how huge that is? For him to open the door to the Gentiles, to the other non-Jews, and open up the way for us to have salvation and have relationship with God. Okay, and verse 10. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. It kind of makes me wonder about Trump. You know, when he did that thing with the Jews and he took the stone. Did y'all see that when I showed it on the news? Where he took that white stone and put it on that that Rebbe's head. That Schneerson guy. You know, because they was at his grave. That had to be significant, which I thought about that. It has something to do with the stones. I'm sure if we, you know, looked it up, we'd probably find out why he did that. But it kind of made me think about that. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. Why? Because they knew that he was talking about them. I gave you guys this earth. You know, you messed it up or whatever, and now I'm giving it to somebody else. Okay, now look at this. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. So in other words, they knew he was talking about them, so they go back and they plot. They plot against Jesus, against this new person. They're coming back and they're planning on catching him in his words. And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that you are true. This is key. And cares for no man. In other words, you don't show partiality. Okay. For thou regardest not the person of men. Isn't that something? Person of the year. Jesus doesn't choose people like that. You know, he doesn't show partiality, or, you know, that's what he's saying right here. You care for no man, but you regard not the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Now, that is the key. Teaching the way of God in truth. Okay, so when you look up the definition of truth, okay, let's look at truth in the Bible. All right, let's see here. 24 Bible verses about truth. All right, John 14:6. Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. See, that's the way I feel like I show love to people, is speaking truth to people. Like I was telling you when I had to go off the recording, how I went to certain people and spoke truth when all this began. That is me showing love to them. Because I love you enough that I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, to me, you're not really loving somebody if you're lying and deceiving. You're not loving. If you're being deceptive and manipulating people, that's not loving. Loving is speaking truth. Of course, you do it humbly, you know. And then look at this one, 1 John 4:6. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whosoever is not from God does not listen to us. Amen. This is what I was trying to tell you earlier. See, when the things are exploding and people come to you and they want to know what do you think about it, don't just blurt out what you know, is what I'm trying to tell you. Because you may be casting your pearls before the swine. Because they're asking you because they want to ease of their, you know, you, in other words, be led by the Lord, because they may be a trap, you know. Because these people may not want to know what you really know. Just give them something light and see how they swallow it, you know. And then go from there. I'm just giving you words of wisdom, you know. Because we are at the day, you know, that people are going to be turning us in and stuff. So we need to pull back on the warnings of people. We need to pull back on, you know, trying to get everybody to see. Because believe me, I've been around thousands of people over the past 5 years. And I remember many, many times, especially the first few years into this thing, people were going crazy trying to warn their families. I mean, you know, doing everything they can, sending them video after video after video, telling them, you know, and their family kept rejecting, pushing back. Don't send me another thing. I'm done with you. Cutting off their family, you know, now there's such a division, they don't even talk to them anymore. You know, it's brought that division. But the thing was, though, is that they really love their family. They really do. And they want their family to see what they see, you know. And so they're trying every way possible through these videos and stuff like that. But these other people, remember what the Bible says, that people sin based upon the lust of their heart. And this could be your husband, your wife, your children, your mother, father, anybody around you can be telling you that they're a Christian. They could be telling you, I'm a non-veer. I will never take that thing. I will. But you wait till the pressure comes on them, you know. It's just wait until the right opportunity comes when they think that they could gain vantage based upon their lust in their heart. You never know, people. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? People are going to do what they're going to do. In other words, when the pressure gets on and they're standing in front of the guillotine, it may be a game changer for some people. They may not be as serious as you are, although you warn them and tell them, So this is why some people are not receiving it and some are. Because some people just, they really don't want to focus on it because they got other priorities. They got other idols that are more important to them than to worry about this. Y'all see what I'm saying? Or they don't want to lose this. They don't want to lose that. They don't want to suffer. They don't want their image to be tarnished by partnering with you. Is what they're thinking. And because at this point, they pretty much labeled people by now. It is what it is. Okay, so let's go back to verse 6. 1 John 4:6. We are from God, and whosoever knows God listens to us. But whosoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Boy, that's a good scripture. There you go. How do you know? Well, who's going to listen? And plus it is in how we carry it out. I've seen people that look absolutely nuts. They're so caught up in this fear that it exudes from them. They're shaking the whole time. They're just, all they do is just spew it out, Well, don't you know this and this and this and this? And don't you know this and this and this and this? And, look what they're doing with the chemtrails. When me and him first got married, I had to pull the reins on Dennis because he was like that when we moved here in the country. And he, when we meet people, boy, he just want to start telling them. And I had to sit him down and talk to him, Dennis, We're in the country, and these people don't, because he moved out of the city. He lived in Springfield, Missouri, pretty huge city with tons of five Genesis there, which is why his dog was crazy when he lived there. When she lived there, Miss Betty, but when we brought her down here to the farm away from 5G, she was a perfect dog. But the point that I'm trying to say is that he just wanted to tell everybody because that's what he knows. But he learned real quick, hold your tongue, because these people here, they don't know anything except what they see online, and what their pastors are saying. These are real country people. We cannot shock them into oblivion because, we come from all this knowledge. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You have to be wise. And just let, just live it in front of them and let them see. Now they're to the point where they're starting to ask questions. They know who we are, but they know that we're no harm. We've lived here 2.5 years now, and we've kept, just like I did in the White House, low profile, quiet and low, Be quiet and let you grow on people. Well, 2.5 years later, they've seen the miracle we've done with this place. They will slow down and look at the beauty because it's just so phenomenal what Dennis has done here. And now they'll even call him and ask him to come help them because they know that, he is not some loony, type of deal. So the point that I'm saying is, just be slow with your roll, so you don't offend people type of deal. 1 Kings 17:24. Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." This is why you cannot come in agreement with people who are not speaking truth, because you will then be guilty with that stain, sitting under people that are not, and you're giving this impression to everybody there that you're approving of this false truth that's being spewed out here. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Because like she says here, then the woman said to Elijah, she came in agreement with him, now I know that you are a man and the word of the Lord from your mouth is truth. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. How do you walk in it? You walk in agreement. We need to hear that sermon again, the power of agreement. Maybe I'll just play it one morning on the prayer call. Because all of this that the beast is doing is wanting people to come in agreement with him. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. How do we get approval from God? A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. There you go. How do we handle it? The truth. Good point. Ephesians 6:14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now, isn't that funny? Because in Christianity, our righteousness comes from God. But in the Hebrew Roots movement, NAR, they want you to take it in your own hands. It's a humanistic deception. Because they want you to be in control of your own righteousness. It's not by works. Another thing that NAR does, that is another way of works, is the courts of heaven doctrine. I talked about this in my NAR book. In the courts of heaven, what they do is they do kind of like the witches do. You know, they leave their bodies, they go up into heaven, and they fight the battle. They fight Satan. If you get, they visualize, which is a New Age thing. They visualize in their prayer, which is another thing from IHOP, is the contemplative prayer, which is a Catholic thing. But the contemplative prayer is where you visualize in your head a scene. So like they visualize that they're walking in the courts and God is the judge. And then, you know, you go in there and instead of Jesus being your defender, you know, your mediator, you step in that position and then you hear what the enemy is saying about you. You then defend yourself in the courts of heaven. You know, the defender, he comes at you and he says, you know, well, you open the door here and then you defend yourself. You repent and do all this other stuff. You know, but the thing is, it's the way the witches are when they leave their bad spirit traveling. You know, and I've had, when I was writing my book called Shut the Gates, the book is about sex and how God sees sex. Why God had me write that, I was shocked, but he did. And whenever I write a book, God sends scenarios to me for me to write about. And one of them was this woman. And this is with a high-level NAR guy, you know, that has millions of followers. But she said, and I won't tell you his name, but she said that they meet, they spirit travel, and they meet and have sex in this, where they're praying together and they have sex together. Because a lot of it is this doctrine called like the bridal chamber, and they some couples, and I did a big investigation into IHOP because this is where they's all going to did this, you know, this contemplative prayer. And what they do is they create a bridal chamber in their house, and they create an altar, and they have sex with Jesus there, is what they believe, really. This really happens. I never knew it until I started writing the book and God started bringing people to me. And what it is they think they're being intimate and romantic, and they're listening to all this music that's very, intimate, which I feel like when I worship, I'm very intimate with the Lord, And but they literally have sex with this demon that which they think is Jesus, because it's very gentle with them, tells them they love them and all this, and the husband and wife do it together. Now, one thing I discovered writing that book is there's a lot of people that have sex with demons. There's and they have names. They're called incubus and succubus. And one time, I'll tell you a story. One time when me and Brock was living together, we brought in this guy from the church, that was homeless. And one night I was in my bed and this demon pulled the sheets back on my bed and went between my legs. I won't get visual or anything, but was trying to have sex with me. I mean, it felt real as all get out, And I was like, what the world? And so I said, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. But I mean, it felt so real, let me tell you. And so the next morning, I told Brock about it. I said, can you believe a demon come in the bed? I mean, literally in my bed, pulled the sheets back and tried to have sex with me last night. He goes, you too? I said, he did it to you too? He said, oh yeah. And he said, some door has been opened in this house. Well, come to find out, that guy was in porno. The guy that we brought in. So he opened a door inside our house. So the demons came to attack us in the night, see. So needless to say, that guy was gone. And, we pled the blood of Jesus over our house and got rid of them sex demons that was brought in. But it's a very real thing. And the sad thing that I discovered through my research about sex is that these demons start out being nice with people and they build relationships with them. And they end up, though, they turn on them. That's how the devil does. And that's what you're going to see coming on the display in 2025, the way the devil's going to do all these Narn evangelicals. It's going to be sad. It's going to be sad. But he'll turn on them. He just used them to get his way, but once he has his way, he'll be done with them. It's going to be very sad. But what was I going to say? When he's done with them, he turns on them. He basically spits them out. He's done. I can't remember now what I was telling, but I can't remember. Okay, maybe it'll come back to me. But the point is that we have to know that the Lord is our righteousness. We do not take it in our own hands. And that is what the Hebrew roots does. It takes everything back. It goes back to the law where you can control everything. It's Oh, that's what I was talking about the courts of heaven. So they're taking their spiritual life in their own hands and they're doing something about it. See, it's a twist. The same with the Hebrew roots and the same, it's all faith is what pleases God, faith. So if you're gonna take and go back to the law and put everything under the old covenant instead of the Jesus covenant, then there you're no longer having faith. You're trying to do it by your arm of your flesh. All right. So let's go to that's what I was saying. So right here in this Ephesians 6:14, where it says, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. That means the truth from God. God's help. With the breastplate of righteousness. God's righteousness. God's protection. Him on the front, not me making my own righteousness. You see what I mean? Exodus 20:16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. True. Lying. You're not telling the truth. James 1:18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Well, John 1:14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 4:24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. That's a big one, huh? And in truth. John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm going to tell you a quick story. One time when I was traveling the country, serving all these ministries, I was in the state of Mississippi, Miss Kimberly. And I was in this town, and, remember I told you about how I had to do all that with no money and stuff. So one of my family members had paid $100 to get my hair done for my birthday. Oh, it was my mother. It just come to me. It was my mother. So I went to this beautician, and I was telling her that I was a minister traveling the country. And, my mother, for my birthday, gave me this money to get my hair done. So then she just starts spilling the beans, boy. I mean, she's telling me, I'm single, but my boyfriend is married. And, I just love him, his wife. She's okay with it, she wants me to date her husband and everything. And, he's just so wealthy and he just buys me everything. And, I'm just so happy. And, she was telling me all these things they do together and all the stuff that he does for her and how happy she is. Now I'm sitting there being quiet while she's doing my hair. I'm just letting her do her thing, So at the end, when she finished my hair, she goes, and what do you think about all that I told you today? Boy, I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I said, now you know that I'm a minister of the living God, right? She's like, yes. I said, you know that I'm going to have to tell you the truth, right? I'm preparing the way, the truth bomb's about to come out. She's like, yes, and that's why I told you this stuff. I said, all right. I said, if you continue in that lifetime, ma'am, that lifestyle, you're going to go to hell. You are playing with fire, ma'am. She stomps her foot and she goes, but I love him. I want him. That's what she did, stomping her foot like a spoiled brat. I said, I know you want him. I said, but you can't have him, ma'am. He is somebody else's husband. Yeah, but she wants me to have him. I said, it doesn't matter. God ain't nowhere in this, ma'am. I said, you better let him go. You need to repent and you need to renounce of your adultery and fornication, ma'am. It hurt her real bad to hear it, but the truth is what set that woman free. Let me tell you what happened. After being angry of what I said, because she didn't want to hear it, but she did. So this is what she said. She goes, I want to be mad at you, but I can't because I know you're telling the truth. So this is what I'm going to do for you, ma'am. How long are you going to be in this city? I said, probably just a few months. I'm here serving this ministry and whatnot. And she goes, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. Because you told me the truth. She said, I can't tell you how many pastors I've told that to, and they've just sugarcoated it. But because you told me the truth, I tell you what I'm going to do for you, ma'am. I'm going to do your hair for free as long as you live here. She said, you come to me and you tell me what color, how you want it cut or whatever. She goes, I respect you. I said, well, thank you, Lord. God bless me is what the point of this story. God bless me for telling the truth, even though it was hard, even though she could have punched me, even though she could have hated me and talked about me to the community, you know, all the things you think of when you go to tell somebody the truth. But I've always had this philosophy in ministry. Nobody else is going to tell you the truth. I cannot assume when I'm ministering to people that there is somebody in their life that is really telling them the truth. You have to think like this. You know, like one time I had these two ministers in my house. This is when I lived in the desert, and I told you the year before I went to the White House, my final desert experience. God put me way out in the desert, told me to give away my car. This was after my 2017 tour. And he made me trust in him with no transportation, no income, nothing, how I was going to live. You know, people, I told you ministers brought me food from out of state. People took care of me, but I had to totally trust in God with nothing. So two ministers show up at my house. Now, one of the ministers didn't really like me anymore because she made her choice, basically. She was gnar to the bone. She was hooked up with all these big gnar preachers, traveling to all their conferences, doing all this anointing stuff, and you know, all the stuff we normally do back in the day. And then she saw what I did in 2017. She is so proud, you know, my friend on Facebook and everything, until I got off the road and started exposing what I saw on the road at the end of 2017. Then she didn't like me so much anymore because I was going against what all of her big preachers were doing. Okay, so, but she still came to see me when she came to town to go see one of them big preachers. So she had her youth pastor, because she was a pastor of a church, and she had a youth pastor with her. And so, you know, they were telling me who they was going to see, and I was warning them about them. Now, let me just tell you now, you know, through my research, this guy is not good. You know, and I was telling them he, you know, does this and this, and, you know, they didn't care whatnot. So anyway, so the youth pastor was telling me, she goes, well, you know, it's like I got this, you know, kid in my youth group that, you know, told me that they wanted to be gay. And, you know, she told me how she reacted to it and everything. So I told her, I said, ma'am, you need to sit down with that kid and you need to tell him the truth about what the Bible says about being gay. And she goes, I just don't really feel it's my place. She's like, I mean, her parents go to church there, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, they do that for him. I said, no, ma'am. I said, you are their leader. You will be held accountable to God if you do not tell that kid the truth. Because here's the thing. If God brings something across your path, you know, like in that case, you know, God's made you the authority over something, like with this youth pastor. She is now the authority over these children, which means she has a big responsibility to God. And she's going to answer to God about all the things that are brought before her, right? So this kid comes up and says, I really want to be gay. Okay. So her saying, you know, well, I'm sure, you know, your parents will talk to you about it and everything. You know, you're fine. I said, no, ma'am, that's not going to cut it. You are a pastor. So you have to tell them, like, you believe their parents may not tell them the truth. Somebody needs to speak the truth to them. So you sit on down and you say, okay, I'm going to tell you, you know, this is how I teach people how to address the LGBT situation in your life through family members or whoever it is. As you sit them down, you talk to them like this. You say, okay, I hear what you're saying, you know, and you know, the thinking that you're having about this lifestyle. But I do want you to know that, you know, you are going to do what you're going to do. You know, you are a person. But you must know what God says about it. Because your decision, which it is a decision, once you know the truth, you make a decision. So you have to know that the decision that you make, you know, always keep it that it's a decision. I'm born this way. No, you're not. Don't agree with them about any lie that the devil is putting in their ear, because all that stuff is lies from the devil. So you tell them, you can do it, yes, because you have free will. But you have to know what God says about it, and you have to know the consequences that's on the other side of this. And this goes with any of us that have children that are doing things that you know are not right. You are responsible to tell them the truth. What they do with it is between them and God. Which in my case, I told my kids the truth, thus they don't have anything to do with me. So that you may have this type of deal. You know, I am believing God for restoration, but you know what I'm saying. So I said, you sit down with that kid and you tell him, you know, that if you make that decision to go towards that lifestyle, then the consequences of this is an eternity in hell. And hell is a very real place. You know, and there is a devil, you know, who is trying to steal your identity, because God says that he has created for you an identity. You know, and you give them this, you know, ministry in 5 minutes that it's an attack on your identity. God has called you to be a man, or he's called you to be a woman, and he has a destiny for your life, you know, and this is perversion. You know, you speak truth to them, even if it hurts. This is perversion. You know, God does not want you to do that. I mean, even if you look at it the way the Bible says, it goes against nature itself, which means God never meant for you to use a back door. He means for everything to be done between a man and a woman in the confines of marriage, in the holiness of the bedroom. Everything within a marriage bedroom is okay. You just have to do it within the bounds of what God allows, you know. And then you give them the gospel, and then, you know, hopefully they'll make the right decision and you can pray with them, get saved, and then you cast those perverted devils out. But they have to know the truth, you know, because if you assume that these people know the truth, they may not know the truth. They may have been in a church that affirms that lifestyle. You know, they may have been watching a big gnar preacher who's flipped now because their kids turned out to be gay, so they turn around and change their gay doctrine. So thus now this youth that's in your group, you know, and I'm telling this youth pastor this, you know, now they're thinking that this is okay because this person. You can never assume. If it's brought before your face, then you are the kingdom of God back to these people. And you say it to them in love. And then whatever they do from there, the seed has been sown. You release your seed and you pray that God germinates it. You see what I mean? The same with all of us back in 2020, when we all sat down with everybody we love and we warned them. Hopefully you all did. We've seen the reaction that has happened since then, and what, you know, the results of, you know, what people did with their decisions. We are into this thing now 5 years. People have made up their mind, honey. This is why, for me, okay, God told me the ark door is shut. Shut down this social media. You know, these people out here, the door is shut. This thing's about to go down. So that's been the rest of the 3 months of this year for me, has been the shutdown. You know, because people at this point, they have made up their mind. They have, and this is why I've been warning people, you know, back off, you know, back off because these people have made up their mind and now it's going to turn into the ugly. We're going to see the ugliness of all this now. You know. Okay, so let's go and finish these scriptures and then I'll be done. Okay, now, John 16:13. But when he, oh, by the way, let me go back to this previous scripture, John 8:32, when it says, then you will know the truth. Okay, let's say this youth hears the truth. Now, if she accepts the truth from this youth pastor, which, by the way, that youth pastor got so mad at me because of her pride and what I said. She blasted me for the longest time on Facebook. You know, all about defense of her youth pastorship and how she's not going to, you know, confront people with truth and all this. I was like, psh. Well, you made your choice, you know, and that kid's blood will be on your hands, you know. But if the kid accepts the truth, right here, the truth will set them free. And I have, over the years, told people the truth in my travels that God brings before me, and then I tell them the truth, you know, and they have been set free. And it's some people, like that girl that I was telling you about, the hairdresser, she was thankful to hear the truth. Now, I'll tell you the end of the story to her that's really sad. It has a sad ending. I told her, if you marry that guy, because she said that he's going to divorce her and marry her. I said, if you marry a guy, I say, God ain't nowhere in this, ma'am. I mean, he's not going to bless a mess. You need to just run from this thing. So it ends up, she goes to the guy and she tells him, hey, you know, I had this preacher tell me that we're living in sin. So you either divorce her and come to me or I'm done. Honey, he goes back and he divorces that wife. She marries him. And let me tell you what he did to her. So sad. All that money he lavished on her, all those things he did for her. See, he's a mason. And she even told me he is a mason. I tell her, you better run from that for the hills. But they got married. He cut off all finances. It was a trap from Satan. Yep. She got what she wanted, but it was a snake bite in the tail. It was a trap. All right, so now let's go back to the scripture. Sometimes when I tell stories, I know a lot of people want to hear the ending to the story if I know it. So there's the ending. Hopefully, you know, she has made it right with God or whatnot now. Okay, so John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Now, John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. By the truth. Your word is truth. See, that's another thing. You know, them wanting to get rid of the Bible, because the Bible is the truth. You know, and them wanting to get rid of Paul and Paul's writings, you know, because Paul tells the truth about what happened to Jesus and the truth about the Jews that say they're Jews and are not, you know. So they want to get rid of the Bible, but we know that we cannot get rid of the Bible. The Bible is the truth. And it's so sad the way the Hebrew roots is done, people. It really is sad. Because they have lost their love. They lose their love of the Bible. And then they want to get into all the esoteric stuff. You know, they want to go after all these other books. And they become bloodthirsty for the book of Enoch and the book of Mermadia or whatever the name is. all those other books, you know. And I don't know. We just need to be careful what our eyes see. Be careful what our ears hear, you know, because we're bringing that in the temple type of deal. But I've seen that a lot with the Hebrew Roots movement. They stray, and a lot of them even quit reading the New Testament. They just lose their love of Jesus and the New Testament. It's so sad. Proverbs 12:22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Who are people that are trustworthy? People that keep their word. Psalm 25:5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Isn't that beautiful? Because it all goes back to us depending on God. You know, he is the truth, he is the way, and he is the life. And there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus. He was the sacrifice that was slain. He is the tree of life. He is the lamb that was slain, that was born in the manger. And why, by the way, I want to sing you guys a song before I end today. Now, yesterday I sang this song, you know, for church. But I wasn't feeling too good yesterday morning, so hopefully I can do a little better job this morning. I do feel a lot better, by the way. I got me some good. I was exhausted. You know, I had done the news the day before and just worked a lot this week. And, but I, you know, slept for about 4 more hours yesterday, and I felt a lot better when I woke up, so my body rested. Which, by the way, going back to our holiday schedule, this week we have full-blown regular deal, regular schedule. Next week, we're off all week. Okay, next week will be no Zoom, no nothing, no prayer calls, nothing. Next week is Christmas. Okay, now, well, I know a lot of this may be going down next week, but we need to be in the prayer closet. This is the time that we need to know our God. We need to be alone with Jesus next week. You know, we need to be with our family. If you have that pleasure and that opportunity to be around your kids and grandkids, think it may be your last time. It may be. Enjoy that time. Oh, how I wish I could. Do it. Be with your family. Love on them. Don't pressure them. You know, just pray for them. Love them. Be with them. Enjoy the holidays. Cook them a big meal. You know, think that it may be your last. And then get in the prayer closet. That's what I'm going to do. Because the following week is when we go into warfare. The next week is New Year's. Okay, so the next week, we have New Year's Eve service on Tuesday night. Monday, we'll do the prayer call. Tuesday, we'll do the prayer call. Tuesday night, 10 o'clock at night, we'll do our regular New Year's Eve service where we do some singing and, you know, communion, and we do, you know, whatever the Lord leads. Okay, so that will be at 10. Then the next morning will be no prayer call, you know, for everybody to be with their family on New Year's Day. A lot of people actually have rituals that they do on New Year's Day, like black eyed peas, and they all get together and stuff. So then the next day, on that Thursday, is prayer call only, no Zoom. And then Friday will be prayer call. Okay, and then the next week on January 6th is full-blown schedule back to normal. Now, for those of you that are in the Bible college, we start Bible college on the 1st. So, you know, which those of you that are getting in the band, you know, books are being sent out today for those of you that's already paid. I've already got the books in shipment. We need to get the books done, but we'll start on that first day. So you'll have the entire month on that study of the identity of who you are type of deal. So that will start on the 1st. And then on the 6th, we go back to the regular schedule program, which is Sunday morning. We do our church at 7:30, which has been so successful. It's been wonderful. Because people can listen while they get dressed for their regular church and then their local church, rather. And then they can go to their regular church and still be a part of it. Or they can listen later. Okay, so it is recorded. So we stop. We try to stop by 9 so everybody can get dressed to go to a local church or whatever. And then Monday mornings through Friday is the prayer call. And then Monday nights will be Bible college nights. And then, I meant to tell y'all, on New Year's night, I would like to do a Zoom with the Bible college, which I will tell them this. I'll send them an email. But if we could, I would like to do a Zoom with everybody, an intro night, you know, type of deal for anybody that can be there. But on the regular schedule, Monday nights, Bible college night. Tuesday nights, maybe if I have guests that I interview or whatever, because I've got one in the works right now. Wednesday night is free, and then Thursday night is Zoom. And, you know, Friday and Saturday are free, except for the prayer call, and then Sunday is church. So that's the normal schedule that we're going to go through from now on, okay? Now, I want to sing you guys this song, and then I'll open up the prayer lines. And I want to tell you guys that, man, Pastor, he preached the best sermon yesterday about anger. And boy, have I been examining my heart before God, because, you know, he is my pastor, and he preaches every week what I need to get chastised over, you know. So he really, and he don't even tell me what he's going to preach until like that morning when I have to, you know, do a graphic or whatever. He'll say, well, I'm really feeling led, you know, today we're going to talk about anger. And I'm like, okay, you know. But anyway, so if you can listen to that, I think it'll really encourage you. All right, this is called Silent Night. And the way I'd like to preface this is I would like all of us to consider Jesus as the lamb that was in the manger. You know, he was born in a manger like cattle, and how God, you know, talked to the wise men to come and see him and bring gifts. This is why we give gifts at Christmas. And then he comes, those wise men come, they follow the star. They didn't need internet. The Lord led them. And, you know, they come and they met their lamb. You know, it's just so amazing when you think about that beautiful night and what really happened. You know, they were led by the star. They came and gave their frankincense and myrrh. You know, the lamb was truly born, the one that would be tested and tried for 33 years to sin. You know, kind of makes me think why they do the 33rd degree Mason. Ha! Never put that 33 together till now. But anyway, but he was born to die. Born to be that sacrificial lamb, you know, that would take on the sins of humanity so that we can go back into the garden. That's what it was for. Because when he come up out of the grave after his third day, and he come out of the grave with the keys from hell, he walked right back into a garden, didn't he? I talk about this in my Organic Christianity book. The truth of what happened when he died. That goes back to our identity, see? Because now we are back in the garden. Isn't that beautiful? So let's all reflect on this as I sing it this morning. Silent night. Silent night. Holy night. All is calm. All is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Isn't that beautiful? Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly host sing hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Isn't this beautiful? Last one. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend your light with the angels, let us sing hallelujah to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. So beautiful, huh? Now, the one thing that really makes me sad about, people giving up Christmas is, now you ride through neighborhoods and stuff and you hardly ever see Christmas lights anymore. It's so sad. It's kind of like, a sign of the times, the lights going out, the souls darkened, type of deal. That's what it seems like to me. It's a sad part of it. All right, but anyways, well, that's everything I have for you guys this morning on this Monday morning. Okay. All right. Love you guys.